Good morning, church. I hope everyone is doing well. Thanks for joining us this morning. The pandemic is continuing, and I'm sure everyone is exhausted. And today I want to talk some about everything we do matters, even the little things that we do matter. And I think even especially during this environment with all the stuff going on, little things can make a big difference to each of us. I remember about 10 years ago, I heard the read the story in the Chicken Soup for the Soul about a young boy named Kyle. He was a ninth grader. He was a very popular athlete during that time. And he saw a kid walking home from school, and his name was Bobby. He was carrying all of his books. And then when Kyle saw him, he thought, why would someone carry all their books home? He must be a nerd. He shrugged his shoulders and went on, and as he was going on walking, he saw a bunch of kids come up to Bobby and start bullying him, and they pushed him and knocked him down. He dropped all of his books. His glasses flew about 10 feet away from him, and Kyle went up to him and saw him and came up to help him, went and got his glasses, brought them, gave them to him, and he saw a tear in his eye and just a real sad eye that he had, and then he said, thanks, man, I appreciate it. And he just saw a little bit of appreciation in the smile he had. So Kyle helped him pick up his books, and as he walked with him, they realized that they lived very close to each other. So Kyle walked with him back to his house, and as they were talking, Kyle invited him to go play football tomorrow with him and some of his friends. Well, they ended up playing football together and ended up spending about the whole weekend together, just getting to know each other. Monday morning, Kyle was walking to school, and he saw Bobby again, and he saw him with all those books that he had, and he went up to him and he said, man, you're going to really build some serious muscles with that pile of books every day. And you know, Bobby just laughed and handed Kyle part of his books. And over the next 4 years, Kyle and Bobby became really good friends. They were very different. Bobby was more of an academic guy. Kyle was an athlete. They went to different colleges. Bobby studied to be a doctor. Kyle, he went to school on a football scholarship, and he was going for business. But they realized that they were close and that the miles apart would not affect their friendship. So Bobby ended up being the valedictorian. So graduation day came, and Bobby and Kyle were close friends, and they were together. They were all dressed up, and Kyle noticed Bobby was a little nervous because, see, Bobby, he had to give the speech for graduation. And so Kyle saw that he was nervous, and he kind of just gave him a big hit on the back and said, dude, you're going to do great. You're going to do a great job. And so Bobby started his speech, and he said this. He said, graduation is a time to thank those who help you make it through those tough years, your parents, your teachers, your siblings, and maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I'm here to tell you all that being a friend to someone is the best gift that you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story. So Bobby started telling the story when he and Kyle first met, that day that Bobby had been bullied and Kyle came and rescued him. And he said, he went on to explain to the audience that that day he got all of his books and everything from his locker because he had planned on killing himself that day. And he took him home because he didn't want his mother to have to go empty the locker. So as he was telling that story, Kyle had no idea the background of that story. And so as Bobby was telling the story, he looked at Bobby. Bobby looked at Kyle and stared at him and smiled. And Kyle was just overwhelmed when he realized what had happened. And so then Bobby said, thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. And then the crowd gasped as this handsome, popular boy told everyone about his weakest moment. And it was not until that moment did Kyle realize the depth of one seemingly small action. Everything we do matters. You know, with one small gesture, you can change a person's life, for better or for worse. God puts each of us in situations, and as Jeff has talked about the Holy Spirit, I think we can look at how the Holy Spirit puts us in situations relationally that we can make an impact on someone's life. What you do matters, even the little things that sometimes goes unnoticed. And each of us can look back at our life at a moment when somebody did something that changed the whole trajectory of your life. I know myself, if you look, there's a picture of Miss Browning. She was a librarian and a teacher at Harding Academy. When I was 16, myself and Jeff Woods, a friend of mine, went there for our junior and senior year. So here we were leaving inner city St. Louis, going to Searcy, Arkansas. It was a big change. But we were there about 2 or 3 weeks, and a Sunday night they had a roller skating party for all the classmates at Harding Academy. Well, Jeff Woods and I, we were excited about that because we knew how to roller skate. And if you lived in St. Louis and were part of Churches of Christ, you know every last Monday of the month from 7 to 9, we got to go roller skating. And my dad is the one that organizes, so I went every month. So we knew how to roller skate. So we were there, and we were kind of showing off a little bit, and then we got to do the hokey pokey. Well, I can do the hokey pokey. There I had my big afro, I was going around, and I could do the hokey pokey. Well, had a fun time, but then Monday morning comes around, and Ruth Browning, Miss Browning, calls me into her office. And I go in there, and I was like, hey, Mrs. Browning, how are you doing today? And she said, Steve, I was at the skating party last night, and I saw you there, and I noticed during the hokey pokey, you were moving your body just a little too much. Well, and if you lived in Searcy, Arkansas, you would understand what she meant by that. And so I was surprised. I had no idea. So I just kind of smiled and said, oh, okay, Miss Browning, thank you very much. And I left and took it and went on. Well, about 3 months went along, and it was, I think, another Monday morning, she called me into her office again. I was like, oh boy, what did I do this time? She called me in her office, she sat me down, and she said, Steve, I've been noticing you these last few months. She said, I've noticed that you're a real leader, and I just want to encourage you to be a leader. That was a trajectory moment for me. Her, what I call whispering in my ear that I could do something, I could be a leader, had a big impact in my life. No one had ever called me to leadership. And Miss Browning had that impact on me that will always stay with me. Look over in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his 12, and he gives them some pretty significant things. You know, they're going to go out to the people of Judah, and he says in verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then gives their names. And in verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter the town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you've received and freely give. And so he goes on, tells them what to take, what not to take. In verse 17, he says, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the councils. They will flog in their synagogues. And he goes on and tells them, brother will betray to death. He's really preparing his disciples during that time. Some really significant stuff. And then towards the end of the chapter, a lot of good discipleship type of verses that are there. But then what I want to go to is the last verse of that chapter, one that I've always been fascinated with. And he says, and if anyone, talking to disciples as they are going out, he says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. I've always heard that. And I think what Jesus is saying is, you know, you got all these things you're doing, but don't forget the little things either. And also, he's saying, God sees what you're doing. He sees the big things you're doing, but he also sees the little things. If you're just giving a cup of cold water to a child because you're my disciple, you will not lose your reward. Again, the little things matter. We were last summer with the teenagers at Rocky Mountain Discipleship Camp. Terry Bartlow, one of the leaders and one of the teachers, told the story about the butterfly effect. I was fascinated with that, and I even bought the book by Andy Andrews. And it was a very fascinating story about the butterfly effect. And it started in 1963. Edward Lorenz, he presented a hypothesis to the New York Academy of Science. And his theory stated this: a butterfly could flap its wings and set molecules of air in motion, which would move other molecules of air, in turn moving more molecules of air, in turn moving more molecules of air, eventually capable of starting a hurricane on the other side of the planet. Well, his ideas were literally laughed out of the conference. People thought ridiculous. He was made fun of, but it was fascinating. And even there were a lot of myths, legends, and even some movies that were made called the butterfly effect, taking that process, which I'd almost maybe call the ripple effect. 30 years later, 1993, with shock and surprise, what entered the scientific community were some physics professors working in separate colleges, and they came to the conclusion that the butterfly effect was authentic, accurate, and viable. And soon after that, it reached the status of a law. You know, you have the law of gravity. Well, you had this law known as the law of sensitive dependence upon initial conditions. April 2nd, 2004, ABC News and the late Peter Jennings honored a man who at the time was 91 years old. It was his weekly segment. You may remember it called Person of the Week. And so Peter Jennings is talking, he says, and so our person of the week is Norman Borlaug. Who? Norman Borlaug. And despite his unfamiliarity, Norman Borlaug is a man who is personally responsible for drastically changing the world in which we live. See, in the early 1940s, Mr. Borlaug hybridized high-yield, disease-resistant corn and wheat for arid climates. Now, that's fancy. Let me just explain what that means. He was able to produce seeds that could survive in very dry climates. And so because of that, in the dust bowls of West Africa, in Siberia, in southwest of United States, they were able to start growing crops that they otherwise couldn't. And Borlaug's specific seed product flourished and regenerated where no seed had ever thrived before. So why Person of the Week? Why did he receive the Nobel Peace Prize and also the Medal of Freedom? Because they decided and they figured out that through the years, it was calculated that Norman Borlaug had saved from famine more than 2 billion lives. B, billion with a B. But let's go back, kind of with the butterfly effect. Maybe it wasn't Norman Borlaug that saved 2 billion people. Maybe it was Henry Wallace. You say, who's Henry Wallace? Well, Henry Wallace was the Vice President of the United States under Truman, under Roosevelt. Roosevelt, I think, had four terms. One of those terms was with Henry Wallace. And Wallace, before that time, was the former Secretary of Agriculture. So what Wallace did with his influence as vice president, he used the power of that office to create a station in Mexico whose sole purpose was to hybridize corn and wheat in arid climates. And so who did he hire? He hired a young man named Norman Borlaug to run it. So Norman Borlaug won the Nobel Prize, and Norman Borlaug was awarded the Medal of Freedom. But considering the connection, maybe it was Henry Wallace that saved the 2 billion people. Or maybe it was George Washington Carver. You remember George Washington Carver. He, with the peanut, he produced 266 different ways to use what's in a peanut for society. Or the sweet potato, 88 different ways to use a sweet potato to really help with society and with nutrition and all that kind of stuff. But When George Washington Carver was 19 years old, he was a student at Iowa State University. And he had a dairy sciences professor who on Saturdays and Sundays would invite him over to his house. And he realized how brilliant he was, and he would have him take his six-year-old son out for botanical expeditions. So every weekend he'd come over and take his son, who was Henry Wallace, on these botanical expeditions. And so his passion, George Washington Carver's passion for the botanical stuff, got Henry Wallace excited and was able to do what he did. So maybe it was George Washington Carver that saved those 2 billion people. Maybe he's the person of the week. Or maybe it was this farmer in Diamond, Missouri. You say Diamond, Missouri, that's about an hour north of Joplin, Missouri. And Moses Carver was his name. Moses was a farmer there, and at that time, Missouri was a slave state, but he did not believe it was right to have slaves. And so one cold day in January, there were some psychopaths called Quatrell's Raiders who terrorized the area by destroying and property and burning and killing. So he came to Moses' farm, burnt and killed a lot of the animals and burned down the farm, the barns and things like that. And then he took a lady named Mary Washington and her son and took them with him. Well, Mary was a good friend of Moses' wife, Susan. So when they took them, Susan checked with neighbors and did some messaging and was able to work out for Moses, her husband, to meet with some of Quatrell's raiders to get that son, that baby boy. So what Moses did one day, he got on his only horse that he had and went about 2 hours over into Kansas and late night met with Quatrell's raiders. Quatrell's raiders came in. They had the white hoods on with the eyes cut out. And they met and they threw him a burlap sack. Inside was a little boy, naked, very cold, and close to death. So they took off with his only horse. He took that little baby, put him in his clothing to try to get him warmed up again, and started walking all night and most of the next day back to the farm. While he was going, he would talk to this new little boy that he and his wife ended up adopting, promising him he was going to take care of him. He was going to provide an education for him. And that little boy was George Washington Carver. So maybe it was Moses Carver that should have been the person of the week. Maybe he's the one responsible for those 2 billion. Or maybe it was Susan, his wife, who went to all the efforts to be able to work out the deal, the trade of a horse for little George. So that's kind of the butterfly effect. Things that we do today, the way we flap our wings today, the butterfly flap, can cause another thing to happen and another thing to happen. And with the Holy Spirit, there's no telling what we can do. Everything, every single thing we do matters. You know, and maybe it's that person that you shared Jesus with. 4 years ago, almost to the day, I went up to Tabernacle, New Jersey for a church that I had spent 2 summers in 79 and 80 at. And they were having their 100th anniversary. It was great being up there for that. But it was really interesting. And a picture here is a picture of a family that just really a special family. And with this family, we'd gone door knocking. We were trying to get kids to go to Vacation Bible School. And we knocked on the door. And actually, it was John Woodruff, the guy with a Coke shirt on, with a red Coke shirt. He knocked on the door. Nobody came. And so they had a little horn on the door. So he just squeezed that horn, and it went off. And they were in the backyard, and they came out the front. We told them what we were doing, invited the kids to come to Vacation Bible School. They did that, had a great time. And then we came back and trying to have a, ask if, you know, inviting ourselves to come have a Bible study with the family. And they said yes. And so we had a Bible study. Mom and Dad were baptized. And what you see here is a picture of the Leitner family. And Danny Leitner, he was, I think actually he was a friend of Jeremy Picker's when he was at Harding. And Danny was in diapers during that time. And it was really neat for me to see, here's not just the couple and not just their child, but Danny married a girl. She's a godly woman, have three kids. They're all being raised to know God. And then they had two other kids with the same stories. And so so many came from that one thing. And I'm sure you could go back in your life and maybe people you've shared Jesus with, and the butterfly effect that takes place. And there's no telling what God and His Spirit can do with some of the things that we do. I think we can look also in the Bible, and we can see some things that happened in Jesus' life, and just in the New Testament, the butterfly effect, where things that seemed to be small things that happened, and they created a ripple effect to where larger and larger things happened because God was involved. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. You remember the in verse 39 of John chapter 4, about the many Samaritans from that town believed in him, being Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. All of that, you know, remember back, you know, Jesus is at the well. He was thirsty. She gave him something to drink, and he had that conversation with her, told her about her life, told her that he could give her living water. And she went back, and her testimony told many in that town that they began to believe. And in verse 39, he told me everything I did. In verse 40, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Again, the butterfly effect that happens when God is involved. Or think about Andrew. You know, Jesus called Andrew as one of his disciples. We don't hear much about Andrew. He's kind of one that's kind of in the background. But with the butterfly effect, when things that we do cause other things when God's involved that are bigger. John chapter 1, verse 40 and 40 through 42, and talks about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. And so, Peter, you know about Peter. He wrote several books of the New Testament. He announced the salvation to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 11. He preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. We could go on and on. All of that, because what did Andrew do? He introduced his brother to Jesus. So I would say, flap your wings. Let God's Spirit move you and move you in ways that you will have no idea the impact, maybe ever, until you get to heaven. I think in Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And, you know, I'll have to admit, even for myself with this pandemic, I'm exhausted. But what he's saying there in Galatians is, let's don't be weary in doing good. And during this pandemic, maybe it could be the small things are about all we can do. Maybe it's a phone call to somebody that you know, somebody that's lonely. And I tell you, my experience with making phone calls is there's a lot of people that are more interested in talking now than what they were 6 months ago. And some people just want to hear a voice or want somebody to listen to them. Or you may have a neighbor that's sick. Maybe they have COVID-19. You know, they have a lot of needs. You know, just you could call them and say, "Hey, is there anything you need?" Or we could go on and on. And I want to conclude with Colossians 3:17. And it says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what's going to happen? The butterfly effect. Things will happen that God will use for more things to happen and more things to happen. And things will happen if we let God's Spirit guide us. Again, everything we do matters, whether it's good or bad, and every little thing also. And I just want to encourage you to just have the courage to do those little things. Do some bigger things, but it's some of the little things that can have a big impact. Just like Kyle had no idea the impact that he had on Bobby just by going and helping him. The same thing can happen to us. So God bless you, church.